Well, almost 400,000 migrants are locked in US prisons every year. A local DU law professor has written a new book that takes a look at why the system has emerged. KGNU's Rosana Longo has more.
We are here with Cesar Cuauhtemoc García Hernández. He's the author of Migration to Prison. He's a law professor and an immigration lawyer at University of Denver. And we are talking about his book today. His book tells us the complex issue around immigration and prisons, America's obsession with locking up immigrants. For me, reading this book was really just coming as an immigrant to learn the way you explain in the book how this has come into a reality with numbers that are crazy. We're talking about 400,000 people are being locked.
Every year from every year under President Obama and under President Trump, we've seen that the federal government has locked up anywhere from 400,000 to 500,000 people. And it's all because of immigration law. It's all because these are people who, in one way or another, the government says they violated immigration law. So sometimes that means adults who have green cards and decades in the United States. And sometimes that means little kids who cannot even tie their own shoelaces. And in different facilities from Maine down to Southern California and Miami to Seattle, where we're holding people behind barbed wires, behind steel doors. Yeah, in some instances, we've seen examples of kids who have been taken away from their parents and sent off to facilities that are surrounded by tall fences and barbed wire. And there's one place that comes to mind in Tucson. It's right off of the highway, and it's an old motel. And it's dusty and hot. I mean, this is Tucson after all. And these kids cannot go anywhere. They're inside that little one square block area all day, every day. And the government says these are shelters. A shelter doesn't have a surveillance team that's watching all day and all night to make sure no one tries to get out. A shelter isn't the place where at a facility, a different facility, but one in Arizona as well, run by the same company, a company named Southwest Key. A man named Levan Pacheco, who I write about in the book, he was working there and at the shelter, and he sexually assaulted 7 boys before he was caught. And sure, he was caught, he was prosecuted, he was convicted, he was sent to federal prison. But you know what? That doesn't take away the fact that these 7 boys were sexually assaulted and are going to have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And it's all because that's where we decided to stick them.
And stories like that, stories of a little kid that is only 3 years old that has been, you know, all his memories are in prison.
Yeah, a little boy named Diego Rivera Osorio, who I write about in the book, who came, he and his mother, Wendy, were living in Honduras. And when he was just 1 year old, Wendy, the mother, decided that life there was too dangerous for them to stay. So that, like, people from all over the world have done for generations, they came to the United States. And when they got here, they asked for asylum from an immigration officer. And within a few days, they found themselves inside of a facility in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, where they couldn't leave. And Diego started a process of requesting permission to stay in the United States. And eventually he won that. He won his legal case to stay in the United States, but not before 650 nights passed. 650 nights passed. So he won his right to stay in the U.S., but you can never undo those 650 nights.
And especially when you're little and you're getting formed, you know, mentally, emotionally, way of developing that needs to be happening.
Psychologists and physicians tell us that children should never be confined. The United Nations says that children should never be confined. The United States says that we have to confine people, or we have to we have to keep them out of the United States. We have to deter them from coming to the United States. But if they manage to get here, then we need to lock them up. And why? Because otherwise, the whole legal system will come crumbling down. Well, tell that to Dwight Eisenhower in 1954, who sent his attorney general general, a man named Herbert Brownell, to a naturalization ceremony in Ebbets Field where the Brooklyn Dodgers used to play. And at that naturalization ceremony, Attorney General Brownell said to the people who were assembled there getting sworn in to become U.S. citizens, he said, look, we've been locking up migrants for many, many years, and we're going to stop. We're going to close facilities across the United States, including, most importantly, the facility on Ellis Island, just off of the coast of southern Manhattan. And that happened in 1954, and that was true for the next 25 years. And you know what? During the 50s and 60s and 1970s, the United States had a lot of problems. We had a lot of growing pains. We were an imperfect people, just like we are an imperfect people now. But the whole thing didn't come tumbling down upon us. And I think if in the beginnings of the Cold War, Dwight Eisenhower could have the courage to shut down these immigration prisons, and I think today in 2019, we need to have the courage to at least put shutting down immigration prisons back on the table.
In your book also, you explain how this is a whole system that is directly connected to money. You know, the money that these facilities are making out of putting migrants in prison, and also the money that they are getting from people that are working there for, they get paid $1 a day, and if they decide not to work, then they get punishment.
Facilities like here in Colorado, the Aurora Detention Center is owned and operated by a private prison corporation, GEO Group, one of the two largest private prison operators in the United States. Their interest is to make sure that their investors get returns on their money, and that means that in part you have to keep revenue high and costs low. And one way in which the private prison corporations here and other places around the country keep their costs low is by offering detainees the opportunity to participate in what they call a voluntary work program, where they pay people $1 a day. And what we hear from a lot of detainees that there's nothing voluntary about this work program, that they're essentially coerced into doing it. There's in fact lawsuits here in Colorado and in other places throughout the country making that argument to the courts, and so far those lawsuits are still, they're making their way to the courts. They're surviving against really well financed defenses that the private prison corporations are putting up, and so far the courts are willing to hear out these claims, and we haven't seen one of these lawsuits come to a decision yet, but they're still hanging in there, and that in and of itself is impressive, because the private prison corporations are very invested in spending all the money that they need to spend on defending themselves against these kinds of lawsuits.
I would like you to go back into explaining to the people that are listening to us this idea of, even if you have the residency, if you get in trouble, if you do something that is not correct, whatever it is, you can always be detained and go to prison.
Yeah, that's right. There's a common assumption that the only people who are locked up are people who don't have the government's permission to be in the United States. Well, that's definitely not true. Kami Arsamimi was a man who lived in the United States for 40 years, and he had a green card. That is, he had the government's permission to live and work in the United States indefinitely. And he was doing so in just outside of Denver for many, many years, until one day ICE showed up at his door and took him down to that private prison in Aurora, and within 13 days he was dead. All right, so there's people like that who I talk about in the book, and many others who have the government's permission, and one way or another they show up on the government's radar. The government thinks, the ICE thinks, yeah, maybe this person has done something to make them deportable, and so we'll lock them up while we figure that out.
That was Professor Cesar Cuatemo Garcia Hernandez. He is a professor of law at the Universities of Denver. He's also an immigration lawyer, and he runs the blog crimmigration.com. And he was speaking there with KGNU's Rosanna Longo about his new book, Migrating to Prison, America's Obsession with Locking Up Immigrants.